You're listening to Brand, the marketing show with your hosts, Thomas Sterling.
But now's the time. Giddy up and go.
And Veronica St. Cyr.
So on brand, I will take it.
An unfiltered conversation on brand strategy.
That's where the best work happens.
Marketing trends.
They're keeping it relevant.
And emerging technology.
$1 billion. That's when you know you made it.
You're excited.
I'm pumped.
All right. Let's kick things off.
What's up, everybody? Today on the show, we're talking about a major brand announcement. Keurig Dr. Pepper decided to cancel their in-house agency, let everybody go, and hand all that work back to creative shops. This is just another moment in that never-ending pendulum swing between in-house and out-of-house, and we felt like we'd be doing a disservice if we didn't talk about it. What are your thoughts on this, V?
Yeah, according to the ANA, 82% of brands had some form of an in-house agency in 2023. You don't hear about it a lot. There typically is a hybrid model. There's some creative or content. Sometimes there's like 360 campaign work happening in-house.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's so broad, the terminology. It could just be the like in-house team that works with your agencies.
Yes.
It could be a couple internal capabilities. In some cases, it's in-housing media. It can really, I mean, incredibly broad.
Exactly. And it's so broad, and it's only gotten so much more complicated with the advent of technology, right? So there's some benefits if you have an in-house agency model or more of your creative leans that way. You can control every minute. You can minimize any data breaches because you're not like handing some of this information out to external partners. And you have the most data on your customer, on your brand, compared to like how you could possibly download that into an external team. But on the flip side, many brands are rethinking the model, citing burnout, limited creative range, and leadership turnover. If you double click into that further, it just makes sense. You get all this creative energy and you don't have to worry about paying salaries and now managing utilization. It's almost like if you're a brand operating a business and then you create an in-house agency, you're just creating a business within another business. And that can be really challenging when you're trying to scale and think about being efficient in your creative output.
And CMOs are in a pressure cooker. They have a short run, 18 months. The average CMO's in has to show up, show progress, show success. I mean, a good creative campaign can take 6 months, a year and a half. I mean, you might just literally be just getting all of your cool stuff off the ground. And then they're like, yeah, Ted, it's time to go. All right.
Yeah,
we already started boxing your
results.
Shit up.
Yeah. What do you mean?
The campaign results? Huh? I'm about to hit launch.
Yeah.
Okay. I need more time. So people are clinging to what that next thing is. And in some cases, and I think in this case, I mean, you know, it's about really securing what your legacy is going to be and what changes you're going to make to move the brand from here to here.
And if you are in a marketing or management or leadership position at a brand, it is a very critical conversation that you need to not only be having, but be constantly rehaving and rethinking. Because as the industry shifts and as that pendulum swings, you can leave some shit on the table if you're not taking a closer look at that model for your own brand.
So with that, let's get into it.
It's showtime.
Well, I'm back. I feel real good about myself, you know what I mean? So, without further delay.
Keurig Dr. Pepper or PepsiCo, what's it going to be?
Well, I'm going to take PepsiCo, but before we even get there, Thomas, I think it's time for ye old ground rules. I think, don't laugh at me, laugh with me, come on. We want to talk about what is driving some of these industry shifts, because this is something that is near and dear to our heart. Wink, wink, hint, hint. We may or may not know people who work at an agency.
We do. We could set you up real
so
fast.
So what are some of the stats that we're seeing?
I mean, you already cited burnout, right? 67% of in-house teams say they're under-resourced relating to demand. 40% are literally citing burnout as a growing concern. And I think the industry is just burnout in general. It's a hard time to be in an agency, whether you're in-house or out-of-house. There's just a million things. The landscape just continues to get more and more complicated. And a lot of those folks are citing things like AI, consumer experience strategy. There's just so many. There's like a never-ending treasure trove of subject matter expertise. And in many cases, the outside agency is like better suited for that than the in-house team, right? On the flip side, right, you look at what agency-led campaigns winning 80% of Cannes Lions and other really, really solid industry publications. I think that's probably also something part and parcel, just the fact that there's just a heck of a lot more agencies producing more of the work. But in many cases, a lot of times when CMOs are looking for that like win, quick win, they're like, bring in somebody new. They'll have fresh ideas. They'll have new approaches to our brand problems. They won't be mired down. You get kind of stale if you're only working on one brand in a lot of ways.
Not only that, agencies pull out their best shit during the pitch. So if you open something up for a pitch process, you are going to get agencies that are going to then try to win your business. Some get comfortable just keeping the business or think that they just have it and don't always bring those fresh ideas.
I mean, in between this pendulum swing between in-house and out-of-house, there really is this Goldilocks zone of collaboration. And this stat I thought was interesting. Brands with a hybrid agency model, external, internal, report 21% higher ROI on campaign performance.
And it makes sense that figuring out that balance and getting that right is so key, because then you can have the best parts of creative energy mixed with operational efficiency, which is great for business and great for creative outputs. So that harmony and that Goldilocks zone is absolutely the best serving of porridge you can have.
So let's talk about what happened. Back in 2018, Keurig Green Mountain and Dr. Pepper Snapple Group merged. And a year later, they started Liquid Sunshine, an in-house agency responsible for managing 125-plus brand portfolio.
It's a lot.
A lot. It's a lot to manage.
Lot of brands.
Their goal was to build this nimble, culture-driven, creative hub.
And they fucking did it.
And they did it. Dr. Pepper, number two soda. The agency grew to over 80 employees and was responsible for work across all of the brands. They didn't work with any other brands. Some of these in-house agencies started to actually bridge beyond, which is interesting. But all of a sudden then it's like, okay, are you losing part of your core brand roots? We don't have time to get into that today. But they were honored in 2024 as the in-house agency of the year at the In-House Agency Forum. So that just shows you.
Doing great work.
They weren't slouching.
No. And then all of a sudden, the doors just close and everyone goes to show up for work and they don't have a
CMO.
Job. Fucking crazy.
It's a sad time at Keurig Dr. Pepper, and their official statement said, while the decision was difficult, they believed external agencies offered them better infrastructure and efficiencies to deliver world-class, personalized creative at scale. I think this has a lot to do with the regime change. They had trouble retaining creative leaders. They had a few CMOs come and go, weren't totally aligned on the vision. And so this is an unfortunate casualty for the industry.
So to give some balance and talk about some other beverage brand behemoths that also have a in-house external kind of creative model, PepsiCo has Pepsi, Gatorade, Lay's, Mountain Dew. They launched an in-house agency called the Creators League in 2014, very focused on content development. But a few years ago, citing internal burnout, Pepsi expanded some partnerships outside to creative agency Gut, to VaynerMedia. So how is Pepsi doing since shifting that creative mix in the past few years? They were recently dethroned as the number three soda Americans drink. So much soda.
How do you get dethroned from number three? I thought if you weren't first, you were last.
No, that's true. If you're not first, you're last. That's in the dictionary. The whole sentence, too. Crazy. They don't usually do that. Yeah, Coke number one, Dr. Pepper number two, now Sprite number three, Pepsi number four. So Pepsi shifts their strategy, takes some of the creative work that they were doing in-house with the Creator Labs, moves it over to Vayner, to agencies like Gut. Sprite ends up spending less money on advertising, but somehow sneaks up to the number three spot, which would be very interesting to take a peek at. However, overall, the carbonated beverage industry grew by 13% year over year in 2024 alone. Lots of conversation in that industry. We're seeing a massive boom in consumer sentiments around better for you sodas, your Olipops, your Poppies, your Culture Pops, right? Poppy recently bought by PepsiCo. Big year for Poppy, have their first Super Bowl commercial, get purchased by Pepsi. So you now have one of these massive brands voting with their wallet that they think that this is something that they want to invest in and bring into their portfolio.
And then Mountain Dew rebrands.
Mountain Dew is finally not MTNDEW anymore.
Goes back to the classic retro throwback.
Yes. Lots of stuff going on at PepsiCo.
And I mean, the Kendall Jenner thing, I know we just want to pretend it never happened, but that moment was another one of the moments in the graveyard for in-house team. They were like, not enough socialization around the idea. We did not look at this hard enough with enough angles.
That is a great example. And for anyone who wants to hear more about that, we did a past episode on this talking about how that was an idea that likely had they gone out to work with external partners.
Anybody at all.
Maybe would have died because an agency can also tell you what's up.
So back to Keurig Dr. Pepper. Lot of speculation on the inner sphere. What's going on? Why did it happen? That's a lot of money to throw away. People are talking about, you know, internal issues, changes to the way that they want to think about marketing. Are we moving it from an overhead expense to a CapEx? Maybe just shifts in practices. I don't know if I'm a client of Copper Giants right now, but I'd be checking my contracts. Like, for you to spin up an agency and then spin it down with this level of communication, I heard just internally, there wasn't a lot of communication about this. It felt rushed. And so why? Well, we talk about strategic realignment. Things change. CMO's directions shift. Their focus shifts. Their vision shifts. Operational challenges. It's hard to manage. You have all this overhead expense. How are you going to stay ahead? Agency land is a tough, tough, tough land. And so launching your own brings that whole dynamic that may culturally just not necessarily fit. And then talent dynamics. It's hard to staff and retain what works today, not just what works in the future. And the impacts of AI on the industry, changes in what's required, skill sets, etc. It just makes for a hard showing. And this is a brand that's had some weird moments. 2 years ago, they had some weird PR buzz because they put an RFP out and remember the payment terms?
Oh, yeah. It wasn't 90. It wasn't 60. Wasn't 30.
It was, I'll pay you when I seize you.
Checks in the mail. It was 360 days. It was, we will pay you 1 year later. What?
Yeah, the trade groups were not so happy about that one. That was a red alert.
They called it corporate bullying.
That's what it felt like.
So as we think about this account going out for RFP, is there any inkling around who might get the money?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, the CMO previously worked at Pfizer and had Publicis manage that piece of business. So people are talking about that, but there's a lot of discussion. Let's play a clip.
Gino, up next, we got Keurig Dr. Pepper talk, and I want to go to the speculation station. Get over there. Okay, Keurig Dr. Pepper is moving away from their in-house model, which means that they're going to be using more external agency help. Here's the deal. Deutsch has worked with Dr. Pepper a lot in the past. And guess what? Drew Penny O2 has some ties to IPG in his past, which owns Deutsch. I think they're going to go with Deutsch for some more stuff, Gino.
I love them. And if anybody doesn't follow Breaking and Entering Media, and particularly Jack and Gino, you have to. 60-second quick ad news. Absolutely hilarious.
If you like what you heard, find them on the socials.
Find them on the socials. They deserve it. They're doing really hard work to get us the hits.
So if we had to talk about any other brands, Intel famously had their agency inside model, but they disbanded it after a little over a 10-year run in 2022 after struggling to scale. Again, internal challenges, pressures, hard to do this. Clorox, after building a robust agency pre-COVID, ended up scrapping it and shifting their media and strategy to another agency in 2023.
Maybe they didn't do as well during the pandemic when everyone was Cloroxing everything, including maybe shooting it into your veins. That could have killed the COVID.
Or they did too well. That could be it too. That could be it too. And then Chobani, after investing heavily in internal content, re-engaging external partners ultimately amidst shifting strategy. So this is just really hard. Yeah. And who wants to invite a bunch of friends, aka make hires, and then tell everybody goodbye?
Aka make fires.
Make fires. It's not cool. It's really, really hard.
But there are some brands that are still getting it right and doing it well. A few of those being Yeti. Yeti has an in-house group that they credit getting so much of their work right with being such a like brand mission focused entity that everyone that then works on the in-house team lives that brand so hardcore that they are relentless in the work that they're doing. In fact, Ad Age honored Yeti's internal team as its 2024 in-house agency of the year, which is a pretty substantial accolade. Again, all reflecting how far their in-house capabilities have come. Another one, you know, we talked about Heinz recently on our packaging episode. Kraft Heinz, global food company, built an internal creative shop about 5 years ago called The Kitchen, which has become an absolute creative powerhouse. In just a few years, they went from servicing four brands to 19. Their staff grew from 35 to 135, two offices, and they deliver 70% of the creative output. And they're an example of an in-house agency that is doing 360 campaign work and not bringing in an external partner for any of that workflow.
Except
which
for 30% of the time.
Except it works every single time. They even go so far in their commitment to in-house that they call their creative agency their agency of record, which is quite the accolade.
That's very cute.
And it has thrived. The Kitchen was named the 2024 in-house agency of the year by the Association of National Advertisers, aka the ANA.
It's easy to have success when you're the juggernaut brand in the space, like a Yeti that is selling a mission, a vision, a philosophy where everybody lifestyle. On your team, yeah, is a part of that lifestyle, partaking is a part of that lifestyle. It's a lot harder for other brands to get something like this off the ground.
It is.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Was your last marketing campaign not up to snuff? Are you sick of being presented stale, run-of-the-mill concepts? Well then, you're ready for a breakup. Introducing the Sterling, it wasn't you, it was your agency, Breakup Kit. Just pop open the kit, grab a blanket, and snuggle up to a warm cup of feeling sorry for yourself. And we'll get to work. For a fresh start and powerful new marketing campaign, email or call today.
And now for something completely different.
So, if you had to put this to work, first would be, if you're going to build an internal agency, build it around the brand, not around the person. CMOs come and go, and a successful agency, not a pet project, lives beyond. Second would be expect the shakeup and protect the talent. A lot of these organizations are working really hard to retain and hire really talented folks, and they need security. Third would be when you're in that Goldilocks zone, you're a new CMO, 12 months in. Within that first 12 months, that's where you really have the biggest impact and the biggest opportunity to make the changes. But that isn't necessarily the time for shotgun approaches to things. It's not a pendulum, right? We're not necessarily living in this pendulum swinging between in-house and out-of-house. It's really more of a flywheel. And the CMOs that are making shifts and really seeing success, a lot of them are boiling it down to a not one-size-fits-all approach. An in-sync, in-house team with really strong partners out-of-house, whether that's a balance for creative, for media, for strategy, what have you. And then the last would be change is hard, but surprise shouldn't be, right? This is an industry that's already weathered a tremendous amount of storms. And changes like this are coming. Everybody's trying to figure out what that next big thing is. And we're all trying to figure out what that is just on the other side of the fence.
Oh, look, it's our Goldilocks. Isn't she lovely? Ooh, yuck. This is too gritty and bitter. This one is just right.
So if you had to take anything away from the show today, Veronica, what would it be?
I would say if you're going to try doing anything in-house, treat it like a startup, nimble, experimental, and willing to pivot and willing to call your friends at Sterling Brandworks if you need a little help.
I like that. Mine would be agencies aren't just vendors, they're mirrors. When they're no longer reflecting culture, values, etc., it's time to look external. And with that, we're out, folks.
That's it for Brand to Brand. Stay tuned for more, and if you like what you heard, give us a follow. We're out of here.